Welcome to Sports Day Cowboys, a podcast all about the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News. I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We're two Cowboys beat writers having a weekly real talk conversation about the latest with the team, including interviews, analysis, and debate. It is Eagles week. Thank you for being with us.
Now, the Cowboys refuse to lose. They've won four in a row, and they head to Philly for a huge Sunday night game against the undefeated, undisputed Philadelphia Eagles.
This week, Jerry Jones turned 80 years old Thursday. DeMarcus Lawrence and the defense just threw their own party. And why the Cowboys' run game will be more important than who's at quarterback on Sunday.
You know what, Michael? This should be a very close game, and it could come down to a field goal. And why is Brett Maher so improved?
Maher will tell us in this week's guest interview. It all starts right now. Jerry Jones turned 80 on Thursday. What will you be doing, Calvin, when you are 80?
Man, I don't know. Maybe I'll be covering the Cowboys still. I don't know. Hopefully I have health benefits. I don't know.
I hope you're not still covering the Cowboys, but I'll tell you.
Me too.
Jerry Jones seems to enjoy still being around the Cowboys. You spoke to Jerry on Sunday after the Cowboys beat the Los Angeles Rams in Inglewood. How was that conversation?
It was a beautiful conversation. You know, we've talked about it a lot in this space that after almost every game, Jerry Jones addresses the media. Well, all the media is outside the Cowboys locker room at SoFi Stadium where the Rams play. And Jerry comes down with his bodyguard and a couple of other people who we don't know who they are. Jerry comes in, they move us out the way, and Jerry turns around and says, I want to talk to y'all for a minute. And he talks to us for like 2 minutes. And then he disappears. He goes back inside the locker room to talk to the players. I've never seen Jerry as giddy ever, really. I mean, he was just so excited. And we talked to several of the players in the locker room about why Jerry was so giddy, including Dak Prescott. I asked Dak, has he ever seen Jerry as giddy as he was on Sunday afternoon in L.A.?
Maybe not. But I mean, I think it's the feel that you get when you're around this team, when you're around these guys. It's you can win games and you can be giddy then, but when you feel it, when you feel what's building, what's growing, as I said, this goes way back to the spring. It's hard for anybody not to be giddy right now. And we're just trying to make sure we handle success the right way and continue to push.
Dak Prescott is one of the most dedicated guys on this team. Love talking to him. He's always committed to this team, whether he's a starting quarterback or the backup quarterback. The guys love him. I remember Michael wrote a great story about Dak's leadership before the start of the season and all these guys that he talks to. And just hearing him talk about Cooper Rush and the commitment to this team is reinforces what you wrote, Michael.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he's a leader. And there's no doubt that he believes in this football team. He seems to have a belief every year in the locker room, the guys around him. But I think he is especially buoyed by this Cowboys defense. And he has every reason to be excited about that group because we've seen it now for five straight games. It's just been so consistent where they've yet to allow multiple touchdowns in a game. They've just really responded to challenges. If there's a punt that doesn't go their way, and you know it's almost like a sudden change situation where they're in their own territory and no points allowed in that situation against the Commanders, and then the next week, this most recent Sunday against the Rams. You can talk so much about so many different players on this defense. I do think we should single out Micah Parsons a little bit based on what he did playing through that left groin strain on Sunday, Calvin.
It was amazing. I mean, you talk about how guys play through adversity, you know what I'm saying? And you find out a lot about a guy. Dan Quinnett talked about that after the Rams game about how he knew Micah Parsons was a tough guy. And remember, me and you, we had our binoculars out toward the end of the first half, and we saw Micah Parsons sitting on the bench, and he slowly walked to the locker room. And I figured he was going to play in the second half, but I was like, man, this dude is tired. He's hurt. You know, he's fighting through some stuff, and he had the groin problem. Remember earlier in the year, I think he had a little bit of a knee or maybe a toe issue. But, you know, but he was fighting through some stuff, you know, early in the year after that first game, I believe. So him being a tough guy is definitely not even an issue for me. I mean, he's just incredible.
No doubt. Yeah, we've seen him grab, you know, roll his ankle. We've seen him grab his lower back, you know, and like even on film, when you watch back this most recent game, there was one play in the second half where, you know, you're watching coach's film, you can't hear it, there's no audio, but you could just see while Micah was walking and kind of standing, like his body kind of stiffened and it looked like he was just screaming in pain between snaps. And so there's no doubt that he's just a hyper, hyper competitive guy. And it's so easy to talk about Micah Parsons. I mean, he probably would be, and probably not even probably about it, your defensive player of the year if the season ended today through five games. But you also don't want – you almost have to fight yourself to make sure that you're not just talking about number 11, because he's one of 11. And there are so many guys, including DeMarcus Lawrence, who are getting the job done. And you can just – it seems like this locker room really enjoys, you know, this game it's Dorrance Armstrong. The next game it could be Trayvon Diggs. You know, there's just this back and forth where you don't know whose game it's going to be. And, you know, Lawrence, you could hear his excitement talking after the game about what it's like when everyone on the defense seemingly is clicking.
Oh, man, it's a beautiful thing. You know, to see your guys running around, making plays, having a good time. You know, one thing we preach to each other is like, man, we work so hard throughout the week, you know, making sure we locked in on our details. Now it's time to come out here and party. So that's what we did today. We came out here and party.
One of the great things about talking to DeMarcus Lawrence, he's just a colorful guy. I remember a couple of weeks ago, Mike McCarthy said the defense is a thermostat, and Lawrence was asked, you know, where's this coming from? Where's this start? And he said, when the Cowboys drafted me. And he's just this great guy. You know, he just, you know, he's not afraid to answer anything. And going into this Eagles game, Michael, it's going to be this defense, the Cowboys defense, the Eagles defense. And that's what it's all about. But if the Cowboys are going to do something, they got to run the ball, right?
No doubt. And I think there's always tension about the Cowboys quarterback, rightfully so. It's the quarterback position. It's where it all starts, the head of the snake. But you look at the way that the Cowboys have been winning football games, it's been a commitment to the run offensively that's been part of that. And that was never more apparent than this past Sunday against the Rams, where you look at the first down play calling from Kellen Moore. They ran the football on first down 16 times for 123 yards, including that 57-yard touchdown by Tony Pollard. So 16 rush attempts compared to passing-wise, they only had four dropbacks, two completions, three attempts, 16 yards with a sack. That is running the football. That is commitment to run. Now, the question is, can the Cowboys be as efficient this Sunday as they were the last? And that's been the issue, is being consistent with that run game. But maybe the increased emphasis that the Cowboys had in padded practice last Thursday, where they did a lot of 9-on-7, maybe that could continue. That will continue in Thursday's practice, but maybe that'll continue to translate on Sunday.
Maybe so. You know, this Eagles defense is pretty good, third best in the National Football League. But the great thing about when we were talking about, you know, running the ball on first down, the Cowboys, you know, they're like eighth in the NFL on average on first and 10, averaging 3.2 yards a game. And the league average is 4.6. And to me, that's telling everyone, we don't care if we get 5 yards on first down. We are committed to running this football. And that's a maturity level in Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator.
No doubt. Absolutely right. And I don't think we're going to see that change, regardless of who's at quarterback. The Cowboys have identified maybe less the formula for what looks pretty, what's exciting football, you know, all of that. They've put that to the wayside right now to focus on what they believe the formula is to win, which is run the football, play great defense. And also, hey, a little bit of special teams. Brett Maher, his leg, his consistency, been a big part of it. He's up next.
Hey, listeners, this is Damon Marks. I'm the Cowboys editor for the Dallas Morning News. That includes the Sports Day Cowboys podcast that you're listening to right now. What I love about this beat is the nonstop news cycle that is the Dallas Cowboys. But beyond that daily adrenaline rush, being able to reveal the human side of the players you watch on TV is a privilege. Calvin and Michael talk to these players each week to bring you the behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anywhere else. If you want to support this good work, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Dallas Morning News and become a member. You'll find a special offer just for listeners at dallasnews.com/listen.
Welcome back to Sports Day Cowboys. Brett Maher has been maybe, for some, the biggest surprise to this Cowboys season through five games. We spent a lot of time in training camp discussing who the Cowboys kicker was going to be. Would it be undrafted rookie Jonathan Garibay? Would it be Liram Hirulahu? Well, it turned out to be neither. Brett Maher brought back after a bit of a mixed, ultimately unsuccessful tenure from 2018 to 2019. And now he's made 13 of 14 field goals, has only missed from 59. He has forced a touchback on 24 of 25 kickoffs. That's most in the NFL. Britt joined us for a conversation to shed a little light into what is different for him this year.
What growth do you feel like you're proudest of what you've made since then?
I don't know if I could pinpoint one thing. There's been a lot of diligence, with me and the mental guy that I work with, that I've continued to work with now for 4 years, I think, maybe even a little bit longer. But every year for us starts in February, barring a Super Bowl run. And we're able to really reflect and be honest about what happened the year before and what we think is maybe coming for this next year. And I think the last few years we've been really good at starting our year off, doing that and putting a good off-season plan together to get us ready for the season, especially when in the spring and the summer I wasn't with anyone. So being able to really nail down that plan and have something to look to and know that we were doing the right things to be able to get ready when that opportunity came and then adjust to what different situations are, but knowing that that prep is already done, and now it's just little things that we have to handle, but the base of it is really solid.
Yeah. How did you connect with the mental coach?
I met him in 5 years ago through a parent's friend or something. I don't exactly remember what the connection was. He's out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Andy Gillum is his name. But he's similar. We've done a lot of great work together weekly in the off season and multiple times a week during the season to be able to keep everything locked in. So I think to go back to your original question of what I'm most proud of, I think would probably just be the understanding and intent that we've put into prepping for different situations that may or may not come up.
Mm-hmm. I'm always curious about the details, but I also am respectful of things that maybe you want to kind of keep in-house and not go into. But when you look at this season so far, are there any examples you could pinpoint of a situation that arose that you answered the bell and some of that mental conditioning was able to be applied and that helped create that result?
Yeah, I think, just in general, the whirlwind of being in this situation from the start, right? There's a lot of different things coming back here, getting an opportunity on an NFL roster. There's only 32 of these jobs in the world, so to be able to be in the running for one and to be able to capitalize on that opportunity is always something that you try not to take advantage or try not to take advantage of that situation. But there's been several during the year. First drive kicks, you got to make sure that you're ready for sudden change stuff. We had a couple in the preseason, and as the season goes and we start building momentum, not falling into the trap of what the outside noise is. And that doesn't mean necessarily to ignore it, but to understand that it's there, and leaning into different challenges of that as well.
Yeah. Before, if there was noise around you?
Well, I think the standard default is to, we're just going to block it out and, pretend it's not there. And I don't know that myself and maybe people in general are good at completely doing that for a consistent amount of time, right? It's so hard to never see anything about anything, especially in today's day. So just having the awareness of it, that it is going to be there, and that's okay, because we've trained for how to deal with it.
Yeah. How important is the relationship between your own game and recognizing that there might be something to work on, and it's okay to acknowledge those things and not just be like, oh, I'm okay, but like really just looking it into the eye and facing whatever challenges may be to kind of have that self-improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the most important things we can do. Coach McCarthy said it in the team meeting this morning, that the most important film you watch is of yourself. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we're the ones that have to go out there, and we have to do it, and we have to make sure that we're putting ourselves in an advantageous position as well. So at some point, this league is tough enough, and this year is long enough where you're not going to be able to hide your weaknesses for that long. So if you're not aware of what they are, or if you are aware and you don't try to do something to improve that, at some point it's going to pop up.
Earlier this offseason, randomly, I was talking with a former San Diego guy I know, John Carney, and he coaches some guys in San Diego, and he was talking about how back when he had his playing career, he wouldn't really follow much of the action on the field because he was so locked in on his own routine and getting ready and make sure he was mentally where he needed to be. So whenever someone said, all right, it's time, John, he was ready to go. What's your mindset on the sideline? And
That's something that we actually have spent a lot of time on as well, just being able to check in and out. I don't think, at least for me, I can't be locked in for 5 hours. I don't have enough mental energy, right, to do that. There's not enough caffeine in the world to make me sustain that. So being able to check in and check out, and honestly, a lot of times the checking out is having conversations with Brian, Jake when he was there, getting, you know, kind of enjoying watching our defense play. And then when it's time to lock in, you have your process to get checked in and do, you know, X, Y, Z. All right, I'm ready to go out on the field at any time now. But trying to keep those times only when it's necessary, instead of being locked in for the entire warm-up and game, it just is, it's just long.
Yeah. And lastly, if someone ever asked me, boy, Brett, you know, what's the difference in him? Help me raise the IQ to that conversation. Like, what's the right answer if people look at you and they see just your maturity and they can kind of just tell that you're locked in and they want to know what the difference is? What would you say? Is it just more mental conditioning work?
I think I've done a nice job with myself and with Andy of really leaning into our process and being understanding what we needed to get better at, and taking those challenges head on, and that's something that we're trying to continue to do, and I hope you guys are saying the same thing, you know, next year and the year after and the year after, of you're just better at handling things because you've seen more and you've been honest with yourself about what needs to be better.
Very insightful interview, Micah, with Brett Maher. I've always enjoyed talking to him over the years. And while he has been a positive on the special teams unit, along with Kevontae Turpin, the punter has been kind of inconsistent a little bit, wouldn't you say?
There's been a couple punts in the past 2 weeks that, yeah, they have to be better. He had the 22-yard shank against the Giants that could have cost the Cowboys, but the defense stepped up and no points resulted in that. And then this most recent week against the Rams, he again put the defense in a tough spot. We had a punt that netted 21 yards because he hit it off his foot. Kelvin Joseph made an excellent play to kind of cover it and make a tackle on the sideline. But, you look at two punts, one 22 net yards, the other one 21 in consecutive weeks. You can't really have that. But I will say that John Fossil has not lost confidence, not lost belief in Brian Anger, who's coming off of a Pro Bowl year. Even if you remove those two punts, his net average still is a couple yards down from where it was at this same point last year. So I think it's a little early to press the panic button on Anger because of two punts, but he no doubt has room to clean some things up in the execution part of it.
You just hope that he doesn't have a bad game on Sunday night against the Eagles. And, you know, this is a big game. Sunday night at the Link, the fans are going to be hyped up for this. This might be, you know, this is the game of the month. You know, in boxing, they have the game of the century, the fight of the century. This is the game of the century for the month of October, because it's the it's the undefeated Eagles against the Cowboys. We're going to learn a lot about these teams early in the season. Yes, it's a lot of football to play. I would love to see how Dallas plays at Green Bay and all that kind of stuff. But to me, this is a statement game for one of these teams, because it reminds me of when we went to New York, when the Giants were undefeated and they needed to beat the Cowboys to make a statement, and they lost. But then they go to London and play the Packers, and they beat the Packers. So you're like, huh, maybe the Giants are for real after all. And now we got Dallas and Philly. And to me, this is a game where someone's got to make a statement. And Dallas, I would think, needs this game more than Philly.
This is the thriller of Philadelphia. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like that? I know you're a boxer. You're a boxing guy. I can hang a little bit. Yeah.
I like that. Crazy. Smoking Joe. I like that.
Well, I will say that when you look at the NFC East, and this just underscores everything that you're talking about in terms of the scale of this game, what a big game it is for both teams. The NFC East in the standings is stacked like no other division in the league, where you have the Eagles at 5-0, you have the Cowboys and the New York Giants somehow, 4-1. And I think you and I agree on this, which is it's really a two-team race. The Giants, we need to see a lot more out of to really believe that they are for real. They've won some really close games, and you know what? A credit to them. That's a team with a new coaching staff. They're learning to win together. You know, praise be to New York Giants. But if we're getting serious about what we've seen this year and what we've seen in past years, it seems like we're building up all along for this to be the Eagles versus the Cowboys for the 2022 NFC East title. And this game is a last for the Eagles before they go into their bye. So the Eagles will either do so with a two-game advantage on the Cowboys, or they'll be right there even with the Cowboys having a head-to-head tiebreaker on them. So big, big game.
Massive game. I remember when Jason Garrett was the coach here, he would always talk about you got to win your division games and you got to finish things in December. And Mike McCarthy has picked that up. So this is not a new formula, but if you beat the Eagles, you got three wins in your division, you know. So you got the early tiebreakers over Washington, the early tiebreakers over New York, and now you got a tiebreaker over Philadelphia, right? At least right now, you know, you get the sweep, you're good. But it is nothing like winning your division games, making a statement on the road, and the way the Cowboys are playing right now, where they're just morphing into this run first team. And, you know, me and you talk about how many times they need to run on first down, and you keep running on first down as much as you can, and you keep grinding it out. And I love the way that Mike McCarthy has said your boy Cooper Rush is not a game manager, because Cooper Rush is throwing the ball down the field. It's just, he said he's been victimized by four drops this year? You know, that could have led to big plays, right?
At least, yeah. So Cooper Rush has played at a high level. He needs to do it now in this big division game. And division, you and I, Calvin, we've got division. We don't always agree. You and I see the weakness, if we got to choose, of this Cowboys defense differently. I disagree is next. Calvin, if I had to take a look at this very impressive Cowboys defense, and you were to tell me what is the weak spot, what is the potential Achilles heel to this group, I would say the run defense going into this Sunday's game against the Eagles.
Michael, I'm going to tell you something. I disagree. It's got to be the Cowboys secondary. Nothing against the pass rush, because who can say anything negative about the pass rush? It's been outstanding. But this secondary is an issue. Did you see Cooper Kupp running around for 75 yards against the Cowboys on Sunday? That's because of the secondary. That's nothing against Trayvon Diggs, who gave up another deep ball against the Rams. But I'm very concerned about the secondary. Anthony Brown is not been as good in 2022 as he was in 2021. Yes, they have a three-headed monster at safety with Jayron Kearse and Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson. But when you're going up against this Eagles offense, A.J. Brown, he's going to start cooking soon. Jalen Hurts, he's a much better passer. than he was when he first got into the league. The secondary gives me major concerns right now. Yeah, you see, Tom Brady had a very good game against them at times. They needed one touchdown. That was all they needed. So in a game like this against the Eagles, the secondary concerns me, especially going down the stretch of the season when the Cowboys are going to have to play some top quarterbacks.
I'm glad you brought up Tom Brady because he threw for 212 passing yards with an interception, a touchdown, 87.3 quarterback rating. He looked pretty pedestrian against this Cowboys secondary.
The man is 52 years old.
Okay, well, how about, let's say, the up-and-coming Joe Burrow. How about Matthew Stafford? When you look at the totality of this Cowboys season, they have allowed a quarterback rating of 74.6. That is number 7 in the NFL. They have allowed 5.9 yards per pass attempt. That is second best in the NFL. So I'm not worried about the Cowboys secondary. You made the argument for me. We're talking about the safety three-headed monster the Cowboys have between Jayron Kearse, Malik Hooker, and Donovan Wilson. But the run defense, to me, has been very spotty at times. You want to go back to that week one game against the Buccaneers. Leonard Fournette had 21 carries, 127 yards. You want to go back a couple more weeks, a little bit closer to the present, and you saw Saquon Barkley have a 36-yard run. He averaged 5.8 yards for the game, but most pressingly, most relevantly going into this particular game, Daniel Jones got free 9 times, 79 yards. And if you can't contain Daniel Jones, yeah, you better believe I am more concerned about the Cowboys' run defense going up against Jalen Hurts. Hurts has more rushing yards, more rush attempts than does Tony Pollard. The Eagles have rushed for 800 yards this season. That is fourth most in the NFL. I'm not saying that the Cowboys have this disastrous run defense and they're going to just get scorched on Sunday night against the Eagles. That's not what my argument is, but I do think it is valid to say that if you're looking right now through 5 games going into this 6-1, all eyes should be on the Cowboys run defense. That is where it starts to defend Jalen Hurts and to ultimately get out of Philadelphia with a win.
Teams don't really run the ball like they used to, like back in the 80s and the 90s. Teams pass the football. And while, yes, the defense overall in the National Football League is ahead of the offense right now, I just think right now, at this stage of the season, I am concerned about the secondary. Trayvon Diggs, he gives up something at least once or twice a game. And in a game like this on Sunday night against the Eagles.
Not against Washington.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. In a game like this against the Eagles, you might give up something, and it might cost you a ball game. So that's why I'm a little concerned about the secondary. Now, I understand what you're saying about the run defense. Hey, Leonard Fournette, he's a bad boy. But the run defense has always had some struggles. The secondary, I think, is taking a step back because Anthony Brown's not playing as well as he did last year.
I think you and I are going to have to just lay it here. We're going to allow the game to speak for itself and allow this season to play out. But this Cowboys secondary, I think, can be extremely strong, and there is more to be seen from this rush defense.
Maybe so. And that's all the time we have for Sports Day Cowboys this week. Thank you so much for listening.
The show is produced by Damon Marks, and you can stay up to date on every episode by following Sports Day Cowboys wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find the show and more audio from our newsroom by following the Dallas Morning News in those same players.
Find links to everything we do at dallasnews.com/listen. You'll also find a special membership offer there just for listeners. We also want to hear more from you, so email us your questions, comments, and voice memos at dmncowboys@dallasnews.com. You can also ping us directly on Twitter @dmn_cowboys and on Facebook @cowboysfancentral. For the Dallas Morning News, I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We'll see you again next week.